Bring it on. Hello, welcome to the big show. Yeah, we're here to discuss all the big tech stories that have gone on in the world. And you might be surprised to hear, none of them have got COVID-19 associated with them. No, not one. Yeah, that's a lie. My nose has just grown. We've taken a policy decision. Well, I have. So the Mac show was like, we can't do a COVID-free policy show, so we're going to end up talking about it. So it is what it is. And we're probably going to end up talking about something about it this show as well. But here's the promise. Next week will be a COVID-free zone, unless one person in the Slack room has caught it and given it to the rest of us. So then it will be entirely different. We'll be all talking about it. Until then, let's talk to our amazing panel, because we have got an amazing panel. Who are you? Top left? I got your I'm face, sorry. But I can't, for the life of me, I can't remember your name.
It's been a while. It has been a while. Yeah. And I was a bit of a surprise turning up tonight, because apparently I said I couldn't come and I could.
Yeah, no, I looked on the thing. Chris Campion, by the way, for those that are listening. If you couldn't tell from the Strug Yorkshire accent. I looked on the calendar, and the calendar was now you're definitely not coming, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't know how I did that, but
well, no,
yeah.
it's a lovely surprise.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think it's probably been at least a month, probably a bit longer. Yeah, everything's just been crazy. Work. There's been some operating model changes at work, more accountability, and loads of stuff going on there. Been still trying to squeeze a bit of running in, but that's mainly been around just commuting to and from work. Even the evening runs have gone out of the window now.
Yeah.
But yeah, busy. And now doing a little bit of work with ASICS as well, from a running perspective, which is exciting.
Lovely.
That's awesome.
All good.
Now, of course, you're perfectly safe where you are, because A, Yorkshire's God's country.
And, indeed.
And B, you're too frigging hard for a virus to get you down.
Because we're in Yorkshire. Damn right. Yeah.
you know, COVID could sweep through Yorkshire and Jeff Boycott would still live through it.
Absolutely, we have all whippets outside chasing it off. You know, we put beer on our cornflakes. Yeah, we're not letting it in here.
That T-pad says, "Christ, Greeny's looking rough."
Cheers.
Welcome, mate. Good to have you back as always. Now then, Jeffrey, any update? You've just sneezed heartily, and we took the piss that you were going to die, and we all felt bad.
It's well, that's okay because humor helps in times of stress. So, so it's all good. And, I do find it kind of funny that allergy season starts to kick in as, people are getting more paranoid here, in the United States. So I sneeze, and if I'm out in public, people freak out. So the update that I have for you since this morning is that the snow is just intermittent now. Welcome to spring. And we have our first confirmed COVID case in Boulder.
So fat chance of building a wall now then.
Yeah. Yep. Anyhow, but hey, you know, springtime snow is, to me, it's always a treat. So I'm happy for it.
Excellent, mate. Good to have you here. And last but by no means least, Patrice with a tidy room.
Yeah, kind of.
Love
sort
it.
Of. I just moved everything to that side.
Cool. What's been happening with you then, mate? Have you work told you to stay home constantly now?
Not yet. I've told a couple of people at work to stay home because they're at risk. But the general guidance at our company is if you got kids or if you're at risk, stay at home. Like if you have older parents that live with you, anything like that. Just use your best judgment. Stay away from other people.
Good, mate. No, quite sound advice. Excellent. Are you well in yourself, though?
No, I'm feeling fine. Like I'm...
Any update on the family?
Nothing really happening. The first court date is in April, mid-April.
Excellent.
Till then, it's like documents and not doing much else.
No, that's good. It's an administrative hiatus.
Kind of, yeah.
Now we've got a couple of we've had a couple of messages after last week's show.
Only a couple.
Yeah. Tom in the Slack room corrected us that I originally said Forrest Gump was from Alabama, and then I changed my mind and said no, it was Georgia, and we were wrong. It was Alabama. Greenbow, Alabama was where he was from. And he also, there was the hammer down thing. Apparently that's wrong, because then the college team is absolutely nowhere near Birmingham. So why they think they're twinned with them is irrelevant, because they're not even close. And he said that there was a good deal of bollocks talked on last week's show, which
not surprised.
Yeah, like that's news.
Yeah, which I wish I could remember. So at the end of the show, Mo said they were coming back to do that every month, and I really can't, because apparently I fell over after the cameras had gone off. Play the guitar. Don't remember that. Callum's mom has got loads of screen captures of me pulling faces of all sorts, so won't be doing that again. The show's actually quite listenable. There's some good stuff in there, apart from the rant about George Best at the end. That got a bit uncomfortable, I have to say, and Bernard Manning. But never mind. We'll get there. The Week in Tech, all the big stuff that's gone on, all the happenings that have happened and been done and gone. And Campion, you cheated. You went in before I said anything there.
Yeah.
I'd send you to the back of the queue, but I won't. COVID-19 could permanently shift us towards home working. We have talked about this briefly, but we haven't had a discussion about how this would work. So go for it, mate.
Yeah, so organisation that I work in, generally speaking, doesn't do an awful lot of home working. But obviously, in light of what's going on right now, lots of pandemic planning going on, and there is a shift happening, an absolute definite shift. And I could see, which is exactly what this story is talking about. It's something we've had a big discussion about in the office over the last couple of days. So I'm working from home. There's basically two of us who do the same, who do a similar sort of job in the environment I work in. We're going to move for the foreseeable, one in the office for as long as the office stays open under government advice, and one working from home. And we're going to alternate, and we need to come up with a frequency for stuff like that. But that's kind of how it's going to work. But people in our office, there's some people that are we're going to be using technology to actually, right, you are working from home now, and this is. Excuse me, timely cough. This is in essentially a contact center, a help desk, service desk type environment as well. So using tools like some of the tools that Avaya and Cisco and Softphone type activities to link into our ACDs to take calls. And what this story is saying around is actually we're going to get people who, as a result of pandemic planning, we're going to get businesses who are encouraging more home working. And actually, there's probably a lot of an argument that from the colleagues at the end of it, that's going to say, look, we did it in a pandemic scenario. It's worked. We want to continue this, increase the agility in working, increase the flexible working opportunities, get rid of commute times. People are going to have to stretch to it now, whereas a lot of companies have probably held back in letting colleagues do it before. And whether this story is going is you've got people like Slack. Microsoft have offered to small businesses a lot of the Microsoft Productivity Suite for free for 6 months, and that includes things like Teams. If people haven't used Teams, it is brilliant in terms of video calling, voice calling, chat, file stores, collaboration tools that are all built in with Teams. But then you've got Zoom, and Zoom do a lot of video conferencing type activities. Yeah. Not too dissimilar to Skype in a lot of ways, and they're increasing their
it's very different because it works
well. Yes. And they're increasing their free tier for now. So this is very much we're going to give people more for free. Let's try and get the hook in, and then once this whole kerfuffle blown over, people hopefully are going to see it and stay with us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing it with our company. I mean, working from home has always been a little bit of a discussion, let's put it that way. In our team, we've always been very open and simply saying, like, do whatever you want, basically, get your job done type of mentality. But, like, upper management was always kind of struggling with that because, like, if they didn't see people, like, at their desks, they were thinking nobody was working, which is bullshit. So, but that has changed now. And I think, I mean, Italy is shut down and we have an office in Italy. And they've had really good, like a really good experience down there, and that hasn't gone unnoticed in the upper management. There was an email today actually about that. So, yeah, I agree. I think this is gonna influence how a lot of, especially bigger and older companies see, like working from home.
One of the things in the service desk environment I've got, and there's a lot of younger people working in that mm-hmm. environment, and some of our frustration within the management team is that you constantly, you know, if you have calls queuing or you have online contacts mm-hmm. queuing not being picked up, and you're trying to meet KPIs and SLAs, and you look at and you mm-hmm. think, you know, what are you doing? Why is there two or three people stood at a machine having what appears from a distance to be a chat, where is that person when you mm. expect them to be sat down and things like that? So there's been an awful lot of nervousness that if everybody's sat at home, you know, how's that productivity going to, how's mm. the trajectory of that productivity going to go? Actually, what we've seen, so we've probably only got about 20 of the frontline analysts working from home this week. But actually, mm. early indications, and hopefully it's some of these people proving a point now, early indications that productivity has gone up, not by a huge amount, but it hasn't mm. gone down. And if that can continue as we scale this up over the next couple of weeks, actually, that's probably something I want to investigate more. We all know that from a company point of view, two of the biggest costs are people and property. And actually, if we can look to increase some of this agile capability, so I need less of a property footprint and reduce costs that way, that can't be a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all positive. I mean, there is something to be said about, especially in creative jobs, like, I mean, even software development is, there's something to be said about, like, getting together, working together closely in an office environment. So it's like, for us, it has always been a mix between being there, even traveling sometimes. I mean, I've worked with remote teams, completely remote, like distributed across multiple countries. There was always a point where it was beneficial to get them all together in one room to whatever, solve a problem or just have social interactions, because you will lose that to some extent.
Yeah.
So it's not all positive, but I think simply having that option and being more flexible, and also, like, I mean, having more, like, life, I always, like, whenever I hired someone, I always told them, okay, life happens. No matter what, like, if something happens and you want to work from home, that is all, like, always a possibility. Like, we don't
we used it properly for the first time in the last, earlier this week, and that's mm-hmm. using Teams with mm-hmm. Microsoft Whiteboard and using the Surface Hub. In one of the meeting rooms, so there was three people in the office. They were in front of a Surface Hub in the meeting room. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I was at home and two or three others at home using the Surface Pro, using Teams, using the whiteboard, collaborating on a document which we were using for the pandemic plan and everything. You know, very much real time collaboration. They're drawing on mm-hmm. on the board on the Surface Hub. I could see it on my screen. I could annotate what I thought I needed changing. One of the other guys who was working from home, he changed one of my annotations. Yep. It was brilliant. We could all see each other on camera. And I take your point. I think working particularly in a lab environment, in a room face-to-face, bouncing those ideas works. I think when the scenarios can, the technology is getting to a point now where you can really fill some of those gaps.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's also a key point. I mean, the technology is there, but also companies are realizing that they need that technology, that they need to invest in certain tools like Microsoft Teams so that it can work. Like, it's not like when you don't get stuff for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
I think you can start to offset some of the costs now. I think this will turn some people's heads.
The bloke who works from home constantly has got a great point to make, I fancy.
I've been work from home for, I was trying to do the math in my head and it was big numbers. So, you know, anyhow, at least 20 years work from home. And when I started work as a work from home person, the tools to make it easy and more transparent for working as part of a team when no one else is with you, they weren't really there. And yet we were still able to do it. And where we've come, especially in the last 10 years, it's hard for me to justify companies saying you have to come into the office. Now, that said, there are jobs where you have to come into the office. Like, let's say that that you're doing some sort of research that uses specialized equipment, and that's in the office. Well, you're going to have to go in and use the equipment. But for a lot of people, there's no longer for me a valid reason to say you have to come into the office. The tools are all there to be able to work remotely and to be in regular or constant communication with your coworkers and to collaborate on things. It doesn't make sense to me to go into an office.
There are jobs like healthcare professionals. I mean, your doctor, even though there are some like online visitation things you can do nowadays, for the most part, I mean, yeah, they have to come in. Like, I mean, hospitals, very difficult, things like that. There are jobs, but the typical office job, and I think most people are just in some, to some extent, in a typical office job, that's totally doable.
I think the question now is probably not necessarily around investment, because a lot of companies, really, if they look at the strategic plan, you know, you offset things like office costs against technology, you know, and some of the, absolutely, where you've got Microsoft offering small businesses some of these tools for 6 months to try and get the hook. You can probably build that into a strategy to justify the spend. I think some of the biggest questions now asking companies is around trust. How much do you trust your people? Trust them to work from home, trust to be productive from home. And I think if you can overcome that, then you're a long way to making this a real and broader thing for many of your employees.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a probably upscaling productivity that's going to hit here, and they're going to realise it very, very swiftly as the COVID thing sticks in. So I've only ever employed someone 3 times, and I've not been great. People have said I'm a good boss. Don't get me wrong; they like you know I'd work for you every day. And I've learned from people who are very good bosses who I've had, but I don't enjoy being a boss in that sense. And I don't know why, because I might have to be at some point. But I've got an absolute loathing and hatred of middle management meetings. And it is the cancer of business, as far as I'm concerned. If you want to have, if I was going to have a meeting room in a factory that I owned, there'd be no chairs, there'd be no tables. You want a meeting, that's fine, but you go in there and you do the meeting and you get out, because there's no pleasure comforts in there that let you stay in there and waste the day. And I just do see modern meetings with middle management as they currently are as an opportunity for blame displacement, and also to hide from doing a bit of work. If you're going to pay someone to be a manager, the whole point of being a manager is to make a decision, to carve up opportunities for other people to do the foot soldier work. It's not to sit there and have a chat with someone else about how you're going to approach something. If I paid you to be a manager, go frigging manage, man.
So we have a lot of meetings, unfortunately, too many, and we're getting better at it. And the way that the team are forming, we're improving significantly. But this has been a bit of a turning point this week, because we have one particular location where there is probably, so it's in a management team of 9. Six are based in one location. One's based in Edinburgh. One's based in London. One, generally speaking, just due to the nature of the tasks that they do, they travel a lot, so they're either at home or in one of the 3 other locations. Anyway, particular meeting last week, and Sarah called out, "I can't hear a word. I can't hear a word." It's the first time she's dialed in a while, because generally speaking, she'd be with us. She says, "I can't hear a word that's been saying. I'm just dropping off this call now." So that was on the Thursday, I think it was. So Friday I had a chat with her, and she says, there's no way that the guy in Edinburgh and the guy in London, there's no way that they follow this meeting every week. You just can't hear it because you've got too much table noise. You've got the way that a conversation happens in the room, two or three people talking over each other. Yeah. It's not possible, which absolutely triggered to me. Well, that's why the guy in Edinburgh and the guy in London very rarely contribute. It's why they very rarely ask any real question, meaningful question. And it's because they're joining for the sake of joining to be on an attendee sheet. So actually we've changed that meeting this week. It's via Teams. The meeting took half the time. Everybody contributed. It was slick. The actions were notable. And then we all moved on. And that team conversation, six people were in the same location. They could have been in a room, but it was more efficient to do it via technology, even though some of the desks were in the same room as each other.
So that's also a little bit of a risk of technology. I mean, what I've seen, and like nobody in the real world would do that, is meetings with like 30 people. Like, just imagine a conference room with 30 people in it. You would look at each other and say, I mean, what the hell are we doing here? And you see that a lot, especially in bigger companies. So I think that's where technology is actually risky, because it's super easy to have like a 30, 40, 50, 100 people meeting that you set up that just spirals out of control.
And that would be so unproductive.
What Ewan is saying.
That's not a meeting though. That's a conference. No. And that's one person talking and 99 people listening, and that works. Yeah, fair enough. But that's it.
Yeah.
It's a dictatorial process at that point, and so it should be.
Well, I'm thinking about the status meeting where like everybody speaks for like whatever 2 minutes, but it's 30 people, and I'm maybe interested in what three of them have to say. So it said that's where technology is a little bit risky. And something, I mean, when you mentioned the conference call where you can't understand each other because of the table noise, there's actually like there are resources out there for how to prevent that from happening. And one of the things we do now is if there's more than one person on the conference call, so you have like a conference room and then one person outside, and everybody should be on the call separately, because otherwise you get the table discussions and table noise and the microphone issues and all of that. It doesn't work. So if everybody's at their desk and it's dialed in, it's simply easier because everybody is at the same level. It's not, as I said, like people having a discussion at a table and then kind of an outsider somewhere. That's stuff like that. That's something that people are learning now and seeing now. And like there's like people like Jeff that have been doing it for a long time. There's experience out there.
But I mean, the adversity is the mother of invention, isn't it? So the fact that people, okay, you've all got to be at home. All right, we're going to have to find much better ways of cooperating. Before we could do it in an infrastructure where we had good pipelines, we had office infrastructure, we had the ability to buy teleconferencing systems for end-to-end conversations that were £10,000 a piece. Now everyone's at home, we can't do that. So webcams have got to get better. Pipelines have got to get bigger. There's going to be an awful lot of technology increase through the adversity of following the COVID model that then becomes the norm.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens, because another part of this particular article from my link, Ewan, is around ISPs. I don't know if this is something that's come from government or not, but around ISPs being asked or told to relax caps, caps in terms of data usage. As people are working from home, they're probably going to go through the data a bit quicker. So, don't be cutting people off. A bit of loosening around the caps and things like that, and that might influence how people provision things like the broadband. That might change that whole setup and landscape as well.
I think there is the one thing I will say as a caveat to what I've just all the things I've just said. I hate meetings. I think meetings are bad. I do like the fact that that you can work with people, and I think the thing that's really important is to maintain a social element. So it's going to be harder to do, because now you've got this ability of people working home. All of a sudden you're buying, well, actually, I can buy this guy from Berlin, that guy from Constance, that guy from London and this guy from Basingstoke. What a fantastic team. But you've got to sit, right, okay, so let's think of the online social. Is there going to be an online social where you can sit there, sitting, shooting the breeze, not talking about work or talking about work a little bit like mm-hmm. you would down the pub, and then coming up with the virtual pub like we do?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, yes. So interestingly, on that exact point, so, there's four people particularly in my team, and it's really key that we have a very close relationship at work. We have two or three short, quick, snappy huddles a day, and they're kind of to your earlier point. You stood up. It's a quick, at most 5 minutes normally. Some very quick decisions in terms of how service is going, what channel we need to prioritise right now, and then we go back to this thing. And they can be quite social. those quite chats, because it's a 5 minute huddle in terms of making the decisions, but it's not like straight away 5 minutes we all disappear. You have a quick chat and stuff, and we've got those tabled in the diary. So I'm working from home all next week. Two to three times a day the scheduled, or they'll happen. We'll do them via Teams, and I fully expect that to have a bit of a chat, get the huddle part done, we have a quick chat, and then we'll carry on. It'll be interesting to see how it works, but I think it can happen much like we do on this show.
Yeah, it has to. But as I said, there's a point where you have to get people together in a room, or like in a restaurant or like whatever location. It doesn't have to be every day or every week.
Yeah.
But you have to do it. I mean, that's something. I mean, we ran a globally distributed team across 8 countries. I don't know how. I mean, different time zones, all of that. It's difficult. There is a cost to that. I mean, you see that if you're running, as I said, like almost like close to 100 people, you see the cost. It's not free. There is a downside to this remoteness, especially if it's across time zones. I mean, with I think at most we had 10 hours difference between team members. There's a cost to that. Mm. It has its advantages. You can do like 24/7, kind of almost a 24/7 like workshop, or like fix bugs or whatever, like support, all of that. You can do that 24/7, but you have to take into account that you need to foster those social interactions. People need to be able to talk, need to be able to meet, all of that. Otherwise you're losing things that are not obvious, that you will only see over time. Like, I've seen the difference between people working together before a big workshop that we organized, where we flew everybody in, and people working together after. And it is day and night. There is a difference.
Yeah. You raise a really good point. Totally. Next to that, so there's a couple of people in our office who, despite all the COVID stuff, is saying, I do not want to work from home. Mm-hmm. I want to be in the office. And we've also got a big sort of in my level management team. Some of the cross function conversations we've been having is very much around colleague mental health. So if we've got some scenarios where colleagues may be working from home for the foreseeable future, and let's say that's 3 months as an example, mm-hmm. that absolutely, from a mental health point of view, could and will probably have an impact on many people. So what additional support do we need to have in place for them?
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, the thing about some people saying, I do not want to work from home, that's a totally valid thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people really need the structure that comes with getting up, going to the office at the same time every day, and having the office routine, and then leaving at the end of the day. And they know that if they're working like I am from home, that they're not going to be able to do their job regardless mm-hmm. of what resources are available to them, because they need to have that structure. And that's an okay thing. I mean, it's a problem right now because some companies are in the position where everyone has to work from home. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think
it's true. So, I mean, you might not have like an office at home, or like you have like a big family in a really small apartment. Where you simply mm-hmm. do not, like, not even like a whatever, a cupboard or something where you can like something where you can hide in, or like the basement, anything like thing like that. And you have to find alternatives then.
The one of the things that's happened to me the last sort of 2 weeks, I've worked at home quite a bit. And I'm only working on a single Apple monitor, and it's actually a pain in the ass not having a second monitor. But I'd rather do that than come down the office, because I've got a situation at the moment where the scaffolding firm over the road has got more people in than they should have. So they're taking all the parking spaces around here. So coming down here and trying to fight for a space is a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. They've got one of the units in the four that I'm in. So each of us has got two parking spaces. I've got no parking spaces. I come down here and I'm like, where do I park? So I'm getting really pissed off with that. Then the guy that builds the exhibition stuff, he's got a big pallet of stuff here that he hasn't got anywhere to store apart from on the dock. So you can't actually see my office anymore from as you come down the road, because there's a great big pile of shit in front of it. And I've just got so pissed off with it. The other thing is my side door's swollen shut, so I can't get the vacuum out to come in here and clean up. So there's dust on the floor, and I can't get it up. So I brought the vacuum down from home a couple of times just to purely do it. And it's just like, if I stay at home, I haven't got to see that. It's winding me up. It's pissing me off at the moment. But actually, I've spent 2 weeks at home shuttling drives back and forth with data. Yesterday, it was like, oh, I need to make this film, but I've left the drive down at the office. It's in the safe. So I had to come down and get it. And it's just like, no, actually, bollocks. I'm going to fight for my little space down here. I'm going to write a letter to them and say, right, either I get two spaces opposite my office with my cards on that are in front of your wall, or I'm going to go to the landlord. Because I'm paying for them. The rest of you should bugger off. There is a mental state that goes along with the workplace that you're in, and it could be home, it could be work. Could be wind you pretty much as home could. Rafael, welcome, mate. I can see you're Brazilian, but I don't speak any Portuguese, I'm afraid. So you're going to have to either talk in English or be ignored. Do apologise. Mm. Good story, mate. I mean, that's a massive discussion, and there is an awful lot to this. And we're at the tip of the iceberg here, aren't we? Because, we're talking about the next 10 to 14 weeks of people being secluded from workplaces, working from home, that your action plans at work are going to have to last another 3 to 4 months.
Yep.
There's a huge acid test, isn't there, of what's what is to come.
Definitely.
Good one, mate. Who's got the next one then?
I think Patrice, you already dropped yours in.
Yeah, I already did. So, kind of something I don't think I've ever done.
Oh my god, I remember this. I used to hate this game.
I never talked about games at all because I'm not a gamer usually. Do you guys remember Command & Conquer?
Oh yeah. I hated it. I played it and I loved it, but I always found it incredibly frustrating. These turn-based games, they usually get the better of me quite quickly.
Well, Command & Conquer wasn't really turn-based.
It was a strategy game. Yeah, you had to deploy stuff and then learn stuff and then deploy stuff, and the opposition were doing the same thing, and then I always lost.
Yeah.
Red Alert was better.
Yeah, so I think EA, Electronic Arts, is doing a Command & Conquer remastered collection. They've taken the old game. They basically put together like a group of super fans that would basically help in the entire process, and they have remastered everything. They did like entirely new, like all the graphics are redone in 4K and everything, but they kept the game itself as close as possible to the original. I think they did some tweaks here and there where all the fans said, okay, this has to change, but for the most part, everything is basically the same. I saw this in the video they showed, like you can even switch back to the old graphics if you want the old crappy look instead of the new really nice look. They redid the videos for the most part. A lot of original actors, they remastered the music with the original guy who made it, all of that. It is awesome. And they're releasing it, I think, in June this year, if I remember correctly. I'm not a gamer. I remember Command & Conquer from my childhood, and I can't wait for this. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to play it like 3 times, and I'm not going to do it at all because that's usually how I game. But I'm super excited about this.
Yeah, I'll buy it. Remember why I hated it the first time.
Yeah, it's it. They have done some like extra stuff, multiplayer and so on is more like they have done some more modern things, but it's add-ons. The game itself is the same.
I mean, the graphics are as I remember it. I'm starting to shiver a little bit.
Yeah, they're crappy as I remember them.
It was a good game, but the problem was you always felt like you were being... I never felt like I could win, but the graphics are stunning now. I mean, the clarity on them is superb. Mm-hmm. It's like they've just been drawn properly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they just redid, as I said, they redid everything. And if you don't like it, just switch it back. Yuna's just showing the difference, like the old graphics versus the new ones.
Yeah, no.
As I said, it was a fun game. I always love playing that.
Do you remember Commandos?
No.
Commandos. Now, I loved that game. So that was one where you had a team of five, and they all had a specialist skill, and you had to infiltrate a German base. And then the one guy, the first guy that was on number one was like a really brutish character, and he'd sneak up behind people and then grab them and break their neck. Or they passed them out, whatever. Then one of the guys was a sniper, so you used to have to kind of line him up so that the other one could make a noise so a guard would come out and then he'd plug him. But he only had a set number of shots. I need to find that. I'll find that before the end of the show. But I love Commandos. If they brought a version of that out for iOS, I would never get off the toilet.
maybe they will. I mean, there has been definitely a surge of like older games coming back to mobile platforms recently. So, possible.
You know, I never got into the Command & Conquer and Commando series. The one that I totally got wrapped up in, though, which I suppose really dates me, was the Marathon series, where you're like a space marine and you have to move around the maze-like spaceship and kill all the alien bugs. Oh, man. That just ate so much of my time.
Here we go. I found it. You ready?
Yep.
So, Commandos Behind Enemy Lines. This is it. So, load a new game. Single player. There we go. There's the bloke. He was the one. He had a gun as well, but you were better off using him to strangle someone. So, this was the first mission. You only had three of them, but eventually you had all five characters, and it would tell you what you had to do, and it showed you where the patrols were and where you started from, and you were concealed when you started. And you could run around, you could just double-click and the guy would run to it and double-click and he'd run to the next place. But you had to be careful about the circuitous route that you took to get where you wanted to, and you had to blow up the enemy's radio and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this guy's taken a lot longer than he needs to. This is about a 20-second mission after you've played it for a week.
Ouch.
But it shows you where the patrols are and everything, and then you just have to... where are we going? Here we go. So there's a patrol running around. So you go to the guy and you select what weapon you want and you get him to crawl. There he is. He's crawling in the right-hand side. And then you double-click again and he crawls around the outside. And the other thing was as well, if you've got like rocks in the way and you double-clicked, he would go around. He wouldn't go over stuff. And then you could get yourself in deep shit as well because you've done it. You could fire your weapon and then they'd all come running. I can't remember what they used to say. It was the only German I knew. I want to say gefeint. Is that a word?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, but it is now. But I mean, that's how German works, right?
They could climb in and out of things, and they could... here you go. This is the bloke that could break necks. He had a dagger as well. Yeah, he could throw the dagger. Coming over. That was him.
Coming over. Okay.
Yeah, and then you could pick the people up as well and put them behind walls so they couldn't get found. It was a really good game. And apparently as well, I've just gone on Coming Over Now. It's available on Steam.
I've never been able to get into games like this, and even games like Command and Conquer. I think in my head it's almost like the game is just too big. There's too much to do. It takes too long. I've always been that the sort of the games I've always played are the ones where you can pick it up and in 20 minutes you have got a result.
Yeah, no, I mean there was levels on this but the thing was you could save it, so you could save it and then come back to it. But there was points in the game, but it was a tricky game to play, and it was very time consuming. I remember sitting for it for hours, but I mean, the times when I played this, I was single and I lived at home with my parents.
I think that's it. I mean, with Command and Conquer as well. I mean, when that came out, I was like a teenager at that point. So, I mean, I got nothing else to do.
I think the last game I played that was a big game like that, a big sort of multi-map game, was Monkey Island. You remember that? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I've just made the huge mistake of typing in Commandos Behind Enemy Lines Mac download. So I might be I might be a few quid light in a few minutes. Oh, yep. Paul the Tall has created it for OS 10. Oh, I need to book one. Oh, shit. I need to get my big boy pants on for the coding. It's the full game, but it's telling me I've got to do some stuff with... Oh, right. Okay. That's yeah. Well, I haven't got time to do that now. Well, I have, but I'd have to ignore you lot.
Yeah. Anyway, like Command & Conquer is an iconic game. I mean, the phrase all your base are belong to us. I know kids these days that know that phrase, that know songs with it, and have no clue where it's from. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that.
I remember, I played Command & Conquer and I didn't enjoy it that much. And then when Red Alert came out, I really enjoyed Red Alert. Mm-hmm. And I think I played quite a lot of that to the point of thinking I might have almost finished it. But it's a time wasting game.
It definitely is. Yeah, I mean, we played a lot of Red Alert 2, built our own maps and everything. But I mean, we spent weeks and weekends, like school holidays. We would like spend a full week basically doing nothing but sleeping like 24 hours and playing for the rest of the day for a week. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, no. Quality game, mate. Any word on price on that?
No, not yet. I hope it's not too expensive. It's very likely going to be on Origin simply because it's EA.
So apparently you need to use Crossover, which is an application that allows you to use Windows stuff on... non-technical person can do this. Yes, right, okay. I'll let you know. You can sign up here for the program for 14 days or use the porting kit alternative. Right, Patrice, might need a bit of help with that at the end of the show. I'll send you the link.
Okay.
Jeffrey, what have you got for us as a story, pal?
I should have given you the link already. There you go. So my story... The headline is that Alexa Answers is expanding to more countries, but the second half of the headline is the part that I'm more interested in, where it says, but still isn't properly vetted. So here's the deal. Alexa Answers is a thing that Amazon set up so that when people ask the A lady a question and the question can't be answered, it can Alexa stop. Sorry about that. Then these questions can go into a pool where if enough people are asking the same questions, then the public can start crowdsourcing answers together. And so on the surface, this sounds like a great way to expand the usefulness of a voice assistant like this. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the questions that are coming in and are getting answers, they're not getting screened properly. So like for example, one of the questions that's out there is, who's the first black astronaut to walk on the moon? And the answer that comes back is Neil Armstrong.
Well, that's correct. Well, though.
Except it's completely wrong.
No, no, no. Because
there's never been a black man on the moon.
No, because he did it for all mankind. He was the first.
I see what you're
saying. Was the first Indian, first Native American, first Eskimo, first Inuit.
So there's that. But then there's another question. What killed George W. Bush?
Mrs. George W. Bush.
Well, first, neither Bush has been killed. So that's a problem right there.
Well, they haven't found a body, though, have they?
Yes. And and now George H.W. Bush is dead. So we have questions that are getting these wrong answers. And in some cases, they're like racist questions. Mm-hmm. Or questions like, how do you assassinate the president? And anyhow, so
cleverly.
What I'm wondering is if there ought to be a different system that companies like Amazon are using to try and get better answers for their voice assistants.
But if it was good, we wouldn't be able to take the piss out of it.
Oh, that's totally true. If it was good.
So, and I got to say, I think the question, you've just said how to assassinate the president of the United States. The actual answer is far better. According to Amazon customer answers, you'd assassinate the president of the United States the same way that you'd assassinate any other president. Duh.
Yeah, you'd introduce him to a Brazilian government official, wouldn't you, who's got coronavirus?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I think that, as you said, the idea wasn't wrong. I mean, it was a clever idea to get the assistant to answer more things. It's just like people are jerks. Like they screw with everything that they can.
Absolutely.
Yes, they can. So what sort of responsibility does Amazon have to vet all of these questions and answers? And now, in their defense, they actually are doing a lot of screening, but holy crap, there's a lot of questions and answers that are happening.
How did
it's like Wikipedia, though, isn't it? It's like an ALAD Wikipedia.
How did Hitler tie his shoes with little Nazis?
That's a Mueller level answer.
Oh my God, you're right. That's totally a Mueller answer.
Yeah, but a lot of these are qualitative. What's the world's best car? Mine, because I own it. I'm not paying anything for it anymore.
Yeah, I think Amazon ultimately is responsible for it. I mean, it's their service. They set it up. They are providing answers to Alexa. Like, it's on them to make sure that, like, it's not hurtful. It's correct. All of that.
What is the world's best sandwich? The one you like the taste of?
Boring. That's a boring answer.
What party is Bloomberg associated with? Michael Bloomberg is a candidate for president with the Democratic Party. However, there's much suspicion to his motives, and many people believe he's an operative of the Republicans.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
I think this service is perfect. What do you want about?
It's... what I really wanted to do was find a story that wasn't COVID related.
Because
the other story that I found,
go on,
actually is COVID related, and it's that Pokemon Go is getting updates so that you don't have to leave your house to catch Pokemon.
That's kind of a bit pointless, is it not?
Well, yes. But at the same time, they're saying, hey, look, you know, we're trying to help with the social distancing. So we're giving people a way to play the game. Excuse me.
I think that's probably seen a huge drop off in gameplay over the last few weeks. And in its case, of how can we keep gameplay alive on this platform?
Yeah, so make it easy to get all the Pokemon to come to your house where you're self quarantining, and keep people playing.
And you can get I don't play Pokemon, so the terminal is just going to be totally wrong. But you can keep your you can get your your extras, if you like, so having to do less steps than you would normally do if you're out walking around the big wide world, you know, where you get your I suppose your power-ups or whatever they're called in Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the different power-ups you get last longer, the things that you do, the walking you do to hatch the eggs, you don't have to do nearly as much. And,
I should do it. It's based on the motion sensor on your watch or something like that, and you can go on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going to leave. Not that everyone's got a treadmill in the lounge, I know, but...
No, but something I've been looking at in case we ever do get locked down. Yeah. Not the Mrs. C is happy about me looking at treadmills, but never mind.
Well, it'll be in the spare room with you, won't it, mate?
It'll be in the garage with me. We'll be in the spare room. We'll be in the garage for sure.
No, bad luck, mate. Bad luck. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by TSO Hosts. We love them to bits. Without them, we wouldn't be doing any of this. Which is perhaps actually something where you want to write to them and say, please stop supporting BTN because they're talking bollocks, maybe. and we get that. That's fine. But with their help, we get to keep all our shows. You can go back for years looking at the rubbish that we've made. And they've also got a good bandwidth. So the fact that we've got lots of people that listen to this show is really, really cool. And we need their help as well to pick up that charge. Without them, we'd be paying a couple of grand a year that we simply don't have. So unless we support TSO Host in return, it's going to go away. So if you want to buy something from them, that's great. You've got BTN20, which is the offer code for your basket, and you get 20% off all your hosting stuff. But that's not it. That's not what they want you to do. That's not what I want you to do necessarily. Great if you can, but if you're not, don't worry about it. The contribution you can make to this network every week as the BTN Army, get yourself on the socials. Thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech. That is it. They stay around if that is all you do. So if every single person did that for this show, they'd get 10,000 messages a week saying, please keep BTN on the airwaves. So please make sure you get yourself out there and do it. And likewise for IMNMax, please say thanks at IMNMax for supporting at British Tech. Again, they're brilliant. They're boys here in Birmingham, but it doesn't matter if you're in Birmingham. We just had a chat with Camps before the start of the show. He's got a bit of water damage on his iPad. And I said, well, just send it down to them. What do you mean? Well, I can send it overnight. They'll fix it and they'll send it back overnight. You'll probably be without it for a whole day and that's it. It won't be weeks on end or anything like that. Maybe if they've got to order a special part in, perhaps. But if you tell them what the damage is to start with, they'll probably just order in a new socket. It'll be waiting for you when your thing gets there, and they'll send it straight back to you. A lot of the time, depending on the repair and the weight, they'll pick up some of the carriage charges on the way back as well as. And if you're a BTN listener, you get 5% off. All you've got to do is make sure you mention BTN and get yourself on the socials again. It's at IMNMax for supporting at British Tech. They are great to us, so please look after them. If you've got anything that needs repairing and you're here in the UK, or even if you're in Germany or Austria, it wouldn't cost you that much more, I don't think. Get in touch with them and get yourself a repair, particularly if you've got old Apple kit. So if you've got anything with an Apple logo on it that is over 5 years old, Apple will no longer support you. There is nowhere to get it fixed unless you go to IMNMax.
And you end up forgetting we are helping social distancing because you don't need to go to a busy store a busy city centre to get your repair fixed. You can just nip to the post office quickly.
IMNMax are the perfect IMN you for the fact that you are not going to catch COVID virus thing by going to an Apple store. Yeah, there we go. That's not maybe the way I should have said that. It's on a blank screen. I can re-vocalize it all, etc. It'll be fine, so don't worry about it. Please support IMNMax. They're touchable. They're right here in the city center. I see Mo every Thursday. He's a great bloke, and you get a warranty with all your stuff as well. So there is a 6-month warranty on all repairs. And Callum was here today telling them about a brand new MacBook Pro that they've got. Really good value. Instantly came with a 12-month warranty as well on top of that. So you get all of that stuff. And peace of mind as well as. Cool. Right, here we go then. Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Mr. Campion.
Right, this is mine. When I said before the show, and I said I haven't bought anything tech-related for a little while now, and I forgot I did. I actually bought... the Kensington... so it's an Ethernet adapter. So I use a Surface Pro, and... I've seen a bit of an issue on that. I don't know if this is a widespread surface thing or if it's just on the particular the setup that we're working with at work at the moment, because it's not a standard Windows 10 offering that we're working on. But we've had a couple of scenarios where the Wi-Fi adapter has disabled, and we've also sometimes I get a bit dodgy Wi-Fi as well. So I can take it into the office and get the adapter re-enabled, but if you don't have local admin privileges, you have to connect via cable, and I get one of the admins to re-enable the adapter for me. Or, like I said, Wi-Fi is not always great in my house. So I had a look around the Surface, the Microsoft manufactured Surface Ethernet adapters are about £60, £60 upwards. This Kensington one plugs in with a USB. It's got Ethernet 3.0. It's got your Ethernet adapter on there as well. So there's three extra USB ports in there as well. And I think it comes about 35 quid, I think it was.
£34.94, including VAT.
Yeah, a hell of a lot cheaper than the Microsoft one. Nice solid device, and it gives me three extra USB ports as well. So obviously, scenario that I mentioned, working from home at the minute, means I can plug my extra bits and bats into it, and it's Kensington, it's well made, it does its job. It's not as expensive as the Surface ones.
Does the Ethernet port give you PoE and any benefit, or is it all USB?
I've not tried it.
Or is it USB 3 power only?
I've not tried it. I'll test it and I'll let you know.
Yeah, if it's only 10-100, I wouldn't have thought maybe it was a great deal. But
don't say it on the box.
That's weird. It says it's 10-100 on it, but then it says it's 1 gigabit, which it can't be.
Mm-hmm. It does say BST gigabit.
Yeah, but then on the description, it's got 10-100. So
10-100 and 1,000 as well.
Okay. So it's gigabit.
It's gigabit. Good.
Yeah.
Nice pick, mate. I like that. It's not bad at all. Good for the road.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is the sort of thing. This is going to just live in my bag, and I'm sure there'll be times when I'm thinking, I need that.
If you got an older laptop as well, so like, you know, my MacBook Pro, that'd be good. Yeah. It'll still work.
Excellent. Hell of a lot cheaper than some of the other brands as well.
Cool, mate. Superb pick. Like that a lot. Jeffrey, what have you got for us?
Well, I'll show you what my pick was going to be, which was a book on mixed drinks, you know, in case you're stuck at home and have a full liquor cabinet. Oh. But my revised pick after the game discussion is the open source versions of the Marathon Trilogy. Oh. So you can go and download all three of the Marathon games for free, multi-platform. And I had forgotten about these, and I did play them for a while, I think a year or two ago. And they're just as fun as I remember.
Available for OS 10?
Available for OS 10 and
Windows and Linux.
Yeah, and they're 64-bit, so you can play them on Catalina.
That is nice.
Yeah, and they're all free.
Oh, even better. Even better. Well done, mate. Good pick. Like that. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So I'm going to pick something that is free, which is awesome. And it's a free resource for you. It's Reddit. You might have heard about it. It has been around for a long time. I've the last couple of months been enjoying it quite a lot. I don't know why it took me so long to pick it up. Somehow never really had a need for it. But if you have any kind of question or you're, I don't know, into anything, like, I don't know, the marathon games or photography or whatever, like whatever you might be into, there's probably a subreddit for it with people that are as excited about it as you, which is awesome. Like, I've been using it quite a bit. I've, like, just random things I'm researching. I've joined a couple of LGBTQ groups. Like, it is just a really good and very simple resource for anything you might be interested in. Technology, like, I'm actually following technology news on Reddit now, which is crazy. So, as I said, and it's free. So just sign up for it. I mean, you have to deal with, to some extent, at least in some groups, you have to deal with the typical internet trolls. But for the most part, at least the areas I've been in, are very, very well maintained. Like, it's kind of like our Slack room. Like, it's like if there is something that is not right, it's not correct, it disappears usually very fast, or it doesn't even appear. Like, some subreddits are actually moderated, which means like posts have to be approved before they show up. So as I said, it's free, and whatever you're into, I'm pretty sure you will find something there.
And I've just showed a bad word on the screen. I'm going to
Reddit. Uh-oh.
Well, it is Reddit.
It is, yep. Reddit. Yeah, yeah. I did look at the stories and kind of it was like, oh, these are all quite not safe for work.
Mm. Yeah, Reddit does have. I mean, you can disable all of that. Reddit actually has options for not safe for work, and you can just hide all of that or show it. I think you have to unblock it to actually show the posts. But as I said, like, it's kind of what Facebook could have been, or what the old, like, olden days, the Usenet, like what Usenet actually was, and on the bulletin boards and all of that, what that was back then, that's what Reddit is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good pick, like that. Michael thing, is pretty straightforward. Now I use a lot of storage, I've got three drawers in this office that are all full with 3.5-inch drives that I've taken out of enclosures that I've had over the years. I've tried NAS. I've tried buying enclosures from scan.co.uk and making my own enclosures and that kind of stuff. And about 5 years ago, it was just like, this is too much. And I just bought pre-made drives that were already in enclosures because they failed less and they were a lot more reliable. I've always done okay with Western Digital, I have to say, and I've always done really well with Seagate, really, really well with Seagate. My cool thing is, in fact, that at the moment on Amazon, you can get an 8 terabyte Seagate drive for 110 quid, which is a really good price, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
133 quid, including VAT, which I don't count, obviously. It goes up to 14 terabytes. They do one on there for 14 terabytes, and I think that's... I want to say it's 270, which is an incredible price, or 12 terabyte at 270. But I went on there yesterday, the only ones that were on Prime were the 8 terabyte. And what I tend to do is when I buy these, I buy a matching pair of them and then I set them both up and I call them 1 and 2 or 3 and 4 or whatever and put a label on them. And then I just constantly mirror between the two using what the ChronoSync, that's what I've used. I've used that for about the last 5.5 years, 6 years. And ChronoSync is brilliant. I absolutely adore it. And it's dead easy. You get 2 USB 3 ports on the front of these as well. They're very transportable. One of these is constantly in my bag going up between the house and down here. And then when I bring it together, I put the two of them in. I just say, right, do a backup. Away you go. And I leave it running overnight and then bring it back here again. So I've always got a mirrored copy at a different location. Mm. And that's it. That's all I ever do. And I reckon I've probably got 80 terabytes of used storage around the office from shooting photos and videos over the years, maybe a bit more than that. And my 2 10 terabytes that I had that were this make before have just started to top out now. So it was a perfect time. I thought 8 terabytes will take me a few weeks to get that filled up. Love Seagate.
Mm-hmm.
Love those drives. They are awesome.
There's a 10 terabyte option even.
Yeah, I think that's only 140, is it? Something like that. But I couldn't get Prime on that yesterday. The only thing I could get Prime on was the 8 terabyte, and it's like, okay, I need to buy it. I want it now. Let's do it. I'm down to 400 and something gigabytes on me 10 terabyte drives, and I don't want to overfill them because that's when they start to crap out.
Mm-hmm.
I'll always probably just cut them off with about a 0.5 terabyte left on them. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Campion?
You can get me at Campion UK on Twitter, mainly active on Instagram, which is Just Run Chris. I have created a on Facebook now from a running a Just Run Chris page as well, and I'm in and around the chat room. Get me there.
Excellent, mate. Great to have you back. Don't be a stranger, eh? There, come back again soon. Jeffrey, where would you be?
I am over at textexpander.com and on Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamet. And I mentioned it this morning, but I'll mention it again. Beginning webinar next Thursday for Text Expander. Even if you've been using Text Expander, go ahead and sign up because you can hit me up with questions and maybe learn something that you didn't know about using Text Expander.
Great piece of software. They allow you to come on this show. So thanks to them for letting you do that during working day. And also they're giving us an offer code, haven't they, for BTN listeners?
BTN 2020 gets you 20% off.
Brilliant. Fantastic piece of software. I'm going to get into it this week. I'm going to come on that webinar. Definitely.
Awesome. And you know, if you come up with questions outside the webinar, that you can just hit me up.
Yeah, absolutely. You have your, there you go, BTN. You've got your own personal consultant.
Yep. You have questions, let me know.
Preface your meeting with, due to listening to BTN, Jeff, how do I do the following? And you'll get an instant reply.
Pretty close to instant. If I am at my desk, then I will reply right away.
Hit Jeff up with the hashtag BTN. There you go.
There you go.
Patrice, where would you be, mate?
I am every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show, and everything I do is on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you again. Right, that's the week in tech. We have done with conversations about COVID. Bob Beach hasn't shown up tonight for the show. I reckon that's probably had something to do with it because the stuff we talked about it this afternoon. Grumpy old bastard. We hope you all have a good week. We hope you all stay safe. It's not a funny topic. It is serious. So be safe and don't go out. Put yourself under the bed sheets. Come out in May, June, something like that. You'll be fine. And buy all the toilet rolls you can find, all the toilet rolls you can find as well. That's really important. Really, really important.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Totally.
We'll see you again next week. Shows are live on Thursday next week, not Friday. So remember that one. We'll see you in the chat room. Let's have a big chat room going on and have a load of fun. And please keep supporting the new show by donating to BTN, BritishTechNetwork.com/subscriptions. And give Carl Swagger $5 a month just to keep the show running. It's really, really important that we keep that show going. It was the first show really that we ever did. So, sixth of July 2008 was the first ever show we did. I did that.
Wow!
Have a great week and have a great weekend and be safe. And we'll see you all next week. Take care. Thanks for listening.